It's good to be here, amen. Granddaughter's been a little busy. Well, guess what today is? Good guess, Curtis. It's Sunday. The second week of our Easter series.
Okay.
But it's also the first day of those that's going to join for our 21-day fast. Who's on? All right, remember, it's a 21-day fast of you know, abstaining from negative. Negative thoughts, negative things. We cannot say anything contrary to what the Word of God says. Now, I'm glad it's starting this week, not last week, because last week I had a little frustration at work. I had to sort of, you know, step back a little bit and think, okay, Jesus, I got to start this next week for sure. And Fletcher's going to need a ride every Sunday for the next 3 weeks. They said they can't drive with having to do this. They can't, so they have to have some pick them up for church on Sunday because they can't drive and they're doing this because they said the other driver's not like as good as they are, I guess. Right, Randy, is that the issue? So, but I did put together 21 scriptures of just to talk about. Most of them are in the Passion Translation. Some are both NIV and Passion. If I felt, you know, some were just really good at the Passion, I'll leave it there. Some are really good at the NIV. Some I had to use NIV just because it's not in Passion, like Ecclesiastes is not there. So you had to just do that. So who wants one of those? All right. Avery, you want to help Papa a second? You want to hand these out? So hand it to everybody else. You can hand those out to everybody. When everybody gets one, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. So she'll do it shyly, but she'll take care of it. She'll do it. She'll wake up and then she'll run around the church in a minute. So. And so she's when she passes those out, that's your scriptures for, and they're not in any particular order, so you can actually put them in any order you want. You know, just pick one for the day, and then just, you know, let them move on, and I'll be good. So there's not set up for day one, day two, day three, day four. It's set up for just however you want to read it, and then just check off the one you've already used. You don't use it again, but it's front and back on the paper, 21 verses that I just picked out. There are so many more, obviously, that there's there, but I just picked up one I thought were, you know, really good, encouraging verses to help us to start our day on a positive note, continue throughout the day with a positive note, and just bless people around us. Amen? All right. A minister parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because they're short of time and couldn't find a space with the meter. So he put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I've circled the block 100 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses." When he returned, he found a citation from the police officer along this note, with this note, "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job." He is not in temptation. So there you go. No, it doesn't always work. Welcome to our second week of our Witness His Resurrection series. Thank you, Avery. We began last week looking at Simon the Zealot. So we're going to pick up looking at Mary Magdalene. And her story is really quite incredible. Mary Magdalene had her whole life restored, rescued, put back together again and turned right side up by Jesus. So she had a lot to be thankful for. Amen? And when the Messiah crossed paths with Mary on that unforgettable day, her shattered life was being held hostage. But Jesus came along and set her free. He does that for you and I too. Amen? And while the scripture is really, it does not record the specific encounter, Mark identifies Mary Magdalene in his gospel as the woman from whom Jesus had cast out 7 demons. That's what we know about her. And as a result of that encounter with the Savior, Mary Magdalene did everything within her reach to further Jesus' mission, his ministry, his message. She wanted everyone to know how good God was. And wow, did the Lord have an incredible path for her life. Did he have a journey for her, a story for her to tell, and everything around it. He had something incredible in store for her. Amen? And Mary Magdalene has the distinct honor of being identified as the first person to witness his resurrection. She gets that honor. That resurrection Jesus had that very first original Easter Sunday morning. And while being such an important person, the biblical account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, little is known about her. About this woman whose name's associated with a fishing village on the Sea of Galilee called Magdala. That's really not a lot. There's not a lot of information about this woman. She's mentioned in all four of the gospel writings, primarily though, in conjunction with the happenings of the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus was there for Mary Magdalene after she was enveloped with demonic oppression. And so for Mary, the least she could do was to be there when Jesus was going through Calvary, selfishly dying for you and I. If Mary Magdalene's presence at the cross meant Jesus would not have to suffer and die alone, then that was, there's no other place that she'd rather be than there. Mary stood her ground in faithful devotion and appreciation to the one who had claimed her amid her own hell on earth before Jesus delivered and set her free from those seven demons. And before his miracle in Mary's life, she had suffered alone in her depressing and demonic oppression. And because of that, she was not about to let the Savior suffer alone. He set her free. She did not want to allow Jesus to go through that suffering solo. And so she was there for the final hours that he was there on the cross. And there's something powerful about choosing to be present around someone that's suffering and in pain. And Mary, she knew that full well, what it was like. And so while emotionally gutted as she experienced the terrors of Jesus, the horrors of Jesus hanging on that cross for those 6 hours, just feet from where he was at, in that excruciating pain as he's being executed, she remained steadfast and near as he breathed his final breaths. She was close to him as they could be. She was as close to him as she could possibly be as they removed his body from the cross and they took him nearby with Joseph, when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus quickly prepared him for burial and quickly put placed his body in a unused tomb. Mary Magdalene was present for all of it before retreating to where she was staying to observe this quickly approaching Sabbath as Good Friday. The sunset was about to come. She was nearby every step, every moment of that day. She likely sat in silent grief over the next several hours, only being interrupted by the tears and the sobs and the sniffles that she had spontaneously coming as the tears hit the ground at her feet. How long that Sabbath rest must have felt, whatever feeling, refreshment, or relaxation that is meant to choose, that is meant to give. She surely did not get the chance to really soak in the relaxation of the Sabbath day as she was thinking about the Savior of the world. But regardless, she endured that time and now is ready to return to the tomb to give a proper attention to Jesus by anointing and preparing his body for the burial. His lifeless, maimed, tore apart body. Little did she know on that day, once the Sabbath day had come and gone, Mary Magdalene soon would hear her name again from the lips of the resurrected Lord outside the empty tomb. When this death-conquering Jesus said her name, Mary. His voice surely brought her to her knees. She remembered the voice. Remember, his sheep hear his voice. She had followed him, knew him, close to him during the whole execution, during everything. And now she hears his name, her voice, her name one more time by the voice of the Savior of the world, Mary. It was her natural response, this one who had spoken words of rescue and redemption over her life in the days prior. So watch as Mary tells her story. Go ahead, Randy, show the video.
I have been the object of disbelief my whole life. It greeted me as a child, this disbelief. And it helped itself to me, to my heart, marking me so deeply that, well, you don't know the level of repulsion people feel for you until you spend a good portion of your life not being looked in the eye. That was my life up until the moment Jesus found me. And what an unbelievable state he found me in. So, we packed, we cleaned, and we gathered for 3 years, though it felt like only days. And then the time came. Well, until his days were accomplished and he did what he came to do. If you've walked a life anything like me, you know what I mean when I say that sometimes people try to put onto you what Jesus removed. He was only gone from us but a couple of days the first time it happened. That mighty, miraculous morning, I went to the tomb, and he was buried, not dead. He called me by my name, and he gave me very specific instructions. So I ran to tell the disciples what I had seen, that he was alive. And they didn't believe me. I mean, had they forgotten that we stood shoulder to shoulder all this time? I may not be one of the 12 or 11 now, but I followed him just the same. But you know what? Their perception of me is not the image Jesus saw. I was no longer the cracked and crooked house that demons dwelt in. Because the moment I realized Jesus believed in me, I believed in him. And eventually, the disciples, they'd come around. Jesus kept appearing to a few, then to hundreds. But even after all that, there would still be some who didn't believe. He warned us about that. But more importantly, there would be other people, many other people who would never see it for themselves, but still believe. why we keep going until we reach every person who once and for all is done with disbelief.
Isn't it so true that some people try to put on us what Jesus took away? The very few specifics that we do know about Mary Magdalene's life, the fact that she had a dark past is one of them. As mentioned, we know Mary once harbored 7 demons in her precious life. That much we know. However, I do think it's inaccurate and actually unsubstantiated to connect Mary's dark past with any specific sinful actions or allusions to loose living, as some have tried to do throughout church history. Some biblical commentators have tried to link Mary Magdalene to the woman caught in adultery in John. Others have with the unnamed woman labeled as a sinner in Luke 7, who anointed Jesus' feet before wiping them with her hair. Not to mention scores of extra biblical mythologies throughout history. None of those connections can be Mary Magdalene supported with any valid evidence. And so often, though, the same is true in our lives. People get extra added on to what simply is not accurate. But unfortunately, sometimes tends to stick and become part of our identity and our story. So many in the body of Christ have had the enemy whisper things to them that just isn't true, that has caused them to not understand whose they are and who they are in Christ, because they've listened to the lies over the Word of God. Because he tries to plant the extras into our life. And hear this, church, it doesn't matter what the enemy tells you, what others tell you. All that matters is what the Lord speaks over you. What he says is all that really matters. And he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says you're son and daughter of God. That in him he's well pleased. In you he's well pleased. He tells you that you're more than a conqueror, that you are victorious. He tells you that you're greatly loved. And that's what really matters in life, is what the Lord says. And Mary heard his voice one more time. And it had to bring her to her knees to think, he's calling me again. He's already delivered and set me free. And so Mary Magdalene, I think she was able to relate to that kind of undeserved reputation. The disciples had a hard time, I think, with who she was. She had all these things. She had this reputation of being someone that maybe she wasn't. And she did mention it in the video we just saw. Amen? However, nothing could shift her away from the power of her initial cleansing, that demonic cleansing, that interaction she had with the Lord of Glory. Nothing could shift her. At that moment, she became brand new from the inside out. What happened to Mary Magdalene on that day is what Apostle Paul later would write about to the church at Corinth, that results when people experience new life found only in the powerful person of Jesus. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here now." You're new. That is an incredible truth that we must and that we want to reflect on today. We need to reflect on today. The power that Jesus invokes into our lives, into the lives of those that will follow Him, those who are now changed by Him, and in reality, we must hold on to this as we walk through our tomorrows. Is the experience of what happened to Mary Magdalene when she encountered Jesus that day. And the power of Jesus experienced by Mary then is the same power that can happen to you and I, that we can experience. Had to get my brain thought, think fast is going there. That it can happen to each one of us as well when we encounter Jesus. We can have that change from the inside out that he's called us to when we are hidden in Christ. If a person is in Christ, something like changing happens. If a person has started a new relationship with Jesus because of a choice was made to put their faith, their trust, their hope in Him, He becomes their King. A whole new approach of life is attainable. A whole new approach of life is now available. That person has a new heart with a fresh start to be enjoyed as they bow down to worship Jesus. Becoming a new creation means He is the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of your life. He is the one you live for, the one you submit to, the one you bend your will to apply to His will in your life. He becomes your every choice in life. If a person's identity is wrapped up in being a follower of Jesus because of that, because you've experienced a total life change through engaging with Him, repenting of one's sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, true freedom and forgiveness is now in front of us. True forgiveness. True forgiveness. True freedom is in front of us. See, people say you're free from a lot of things. Jesus says you're free indeed. People say I forgive you, but do they really mean it? When Jesus says it, He means it. When an individual believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, not only is that person saved from their sins that separated them from the Holy God, but that person is indeed a new creation. The old you has gone, and the new you has come. Listen, I have not arrived yet. We talked about it last week, but you won't arrive necessarily, but thank God I'm not where I was before I knew Him. Thank God I'm not where I was last week. I'm growing, I'm still learning, I'm still doing things. The old me is dying day by day so that He might increase and I might decrease. And such a new creation now has the opportunity to live for the King and His kingdom and to do so on earth as it is in heaven. That's what He's called us to. That's what He's longed for us to see is see a little a bit of heaven on earth. And while the truth of Scripture about being a new creation has all kinds of implications on what has happened on the inside, it's not necessarily a person's outside demeanor or look automatically changes. I don't know if you ever experienced this before, but have you ever noticed when someone you know walks into the room and you just say something about them's changed? Now, honestly, you know, having that experience of there's something different about them often happens when there's some physical difference that you notice the other person. Maybe, you know, they got a haircut. You know, you notice that. Maybe they got their braces off. Maybe you're like me and you're like, boy, he's been working out. Not really. I was at physical therapy this week, and the physical therapist said, so do you exercise? I said, I exercise every day. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I exercise every day. She says, you know, how many times do you exercise? I said, I exercise every day. She goes, you do? I says, yeah. She says, like, do a sit-up every morning. I get up in the morning, that's half. Go to bed at night, that's the other half. If I take a nap during the week, during the day, I got two sit-ups that day. And I exercise every day. She started laughing a little bit. She goes, yeah, that's probably better than some people. You know, maybe someone shaved. You know, and so you notice things. We always often notice something different about them from that physical appearance, that physical thing that has changed. But what Paul's writing about in this verse in 2 Corinthians, about being a new creation, a new creature, is an inside job that expresses itself on the outside. Something changes on the inside that comes through the outside. Something happens inside a person when Jesus encounters a person in such a way that it changes what they do, what they say, and how they say it. When they focus their time, their energy, their resources, and their life, what they do from that moment on, encounter Jesus and become a new creation. It changes. People see the difference. Not just because you got a haircut, but they see the way you handle life. Approach. That's what our 21 days is about. You know, it's just that people see difference in. Why are you always so positive when things are going to hell in that basket? It's like, how can you do that? Because Jesus is good. He's good all the time. And it doesn't change by circumstance. It doesn't change by anything. It just, when we realize that God is so good, it's worth living for. It's worth dying for. See, Mary Magdalene understood this idea, and then people began to see the difference in her from how she was with the seven demons to how she was now. They began to notice things, and she exemplified the everything about him, and her life just exemplified the transition, this new creation that she had encountered. It just exuded out of her life. Jesus changed what was happening on her inside. And it adjusted all her life in a brand new creation. And others could see it on the outside. Mary, what's different about you? Your hair looks the same. You didn't go to get your nails done. Everything outside Mary looks the same, but there's something different about you. Something we noticed, what happened, and she was able to share her story of her encounter with Jesus. So I'll never forget when the Lord found me. Things changed. Now listen, some things changed right away overnight. Things were like, some of the desires I had just were gone. You know, some desires that he just took away. I didn't have any desire to drink anymore. Didn't have desire to do the other stuff anymore. You know, some stuff the desire was gone. God just took it away. Some things took a little harder, you know, took a little time. Some things, he's still working on me. But people saw change. People saw the difference because the way I spoke became different. The way I acted became different. I'll never forget. This is BC. Don't know what that is. That means before Christ. I was in school, and there's these girls always wore dresses in school. And I was like, always give them a hard time. It's like, I was just, you know, that's where they're at. That was the church they went to. That's what this. And so I'm giving these girls a hard time. I mean, I'm just like harassing them, making fun of them, joking about them. And then I found Jesus. And I go to church, and those girls were there. You talk about humbling. You could see the difference, because no longer did I do that. They saw the difference. I mean, they saw it right away, because it's like, you don't tease us anymore. It's like, yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it is. So much different it is. You know, it's like, but you see, that's how Jesus works. See, he changed the inside, which then just changes the outside, because the way we act and talk and share and do things just changes. And Mary Magdalene just understood that. She realized that. Jesus believed in Mary Magdalene. He believed she was worth rescuing from the evil living inside of her rent free that needed to be evicted. And Jesus believed she was the one who should be the first one to encounter him as he rose from the dead. She witnessed his resurrection. She believed with all her heart, her soul, her mind, and her strength that he was the one. Had Jesus not believed in Mary, if he had not believed that she should be the one to witness resurrection life, he likely would not have revealed himself to her as he did. And so once Mary encountered Jesus near the tomb, she just went back to share the news with the others that were there that she had met with Jesus. See, she invested her life, continue to tell others of this one who had rescued her and defeated death. People must know this life-altering story of Jesus and his power that is worth believing. It's worth believing. You know, he said, blessed are you for you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. So Mary Magdalene did her part to make sure that everybody around her had the opportunity to hear and to know about this Jesus. And while we know that Mary Magdalene was the first to encounter Jesus at the tomb after his resurrection, it is safe to assume, I believe, that she also was in the room when Jesus later appeared to the disciples and those who were with him in Luke 7, as Luke 24 describes as this. Luke 24, verses 36 to 49 says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, ate it in the presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now imagine the impact these corporate moments coupled with the private moment that Mary had the tomb had on her life. I think it's reasonable to assume that she was right there in the room when Jesus appeared to the group of people there. She did run back to tell him. She certainly would have had been in awe of him all over again as she stood in their presence and eating and talking with them about the message that must be proclaimed to all the world, to everybody, everywhere. So when Jesus opened their minds and to understand the scriptures, rest assured that all those in attendance were radically marked at that moment, including Mary Magdalene. Once Jesus told her and the others that they were to be his witnesses of all these things, Mary Magdalene took that commissioning to heart. She dialed in. George, you come. I'm getting ready to finish up here. To being a carrier of the good news that Jesus told them concerning repentance for the forgiveness of sins that should be proclaimed in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. N.T. Wright's take on this task from Jesus to his followers sums up what Mary Magdalene would invest her life in all his days. He writes, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins are not, therefore, simply a matter for the individual, though they are certainly that. At the heart of being a Christian is a personal turning away from sin and celebrating God's forgiveness, which is, after all, at the heart of the Lord's Prayer itself. But these two words go much wider as well. They are the agenda which can change the world. Mary Magdalene's world changed. The encounter she had with God, it changed her world. So she in turn would do everything she could to see the world around her changed by her life. By what she spoke, by how she spoke it, by what she could tell others about him. She wanted to make the message pure. She wanted the message known. And so she went everywhere she could and said, this one took me who was oppressed by the enemy, delivered me and set me free from the seven demons inside of me. It radically changed my life. You need to understand him. You need to know him. You need to believe in him. She would go and tell the good news to all the world that would listen, that needed to be changed by his mercy and his grace. She was a living example of what the power of Jesus could do to restore life and bring freedom to one who had experienced the exact opposite for far too long. How could she not tell the good news herself? Maybe the better question is, has the Lord done anything good for you? How can we not tell the good news? Oh, but I act if they might just laugh at me. Yeah, they might. They might think I'm one of those Jesus freaks. Yeah, they might. They might think that I've gone to deep end. Yeah, they might. But isn't he worth it? I mean, isn't he worth it? See, when you became in Christ, you became a new creature. You have the mind of Christ. Give me a minute. Just, I want to try to find a video I think that will really play in well with this. So just worship as I help Randy find this a second, because I don't remember the name of it. Sometimes the church really forgot its focus. Can I tell your story you mentioned to me this morning? Can I share it? You okay with that? So, Randy, I mean, with the questions, one, I don't worry about the questions so much, but you know, we just talk about, you know, giving in general. And he says, you know, it says, I was writing a check out, and he says, I was gonna write up for less because, you know, everything's more expensive. Amen? Gas more expensive. Groceries more expensive. He says, but then the Lord spoke to me and said, just write the same. And so God's gonna honor that. I tell you, God's gonna honor that, Randy. He's gonna honor that. And I'm not here to talk about giving. I'm really not. It's not my purpose at all. But I was reading a book the other day, and in the book he talked about he had a good balance on giving, because sometimes I think churches have really misconstrued. You know, you have the really prosperity gospel church. Unless you're a multimillionaire, you're not a believer, and you know, and if you're not poor, you're not a believer. I mean, that's the two spectrums they have. There's not the middle of the road for a lot of people, and this guy's writing a book in the middle of the road, telling more. And Benner said, you know, sometimes we think about our life and we think that, you know, money, you know, it says, the Bible says you can't serve both God and man, or mammon, money. And he says, sometimes we think we're not serving our money, but really you are. And I'm like, what do you think you are telling me I am? And he says, because most people make their decisions on their pocketbook. I'm going to go on vacation, but I can't afford it. We do what, you know, our pocket tells us, what God tells us. And I just said, since you're just, you know, being obedient to the Lord, he's going to bless that. He's going to really bless that, because you're just, you know, you're obedient to him. And he honors obedience. He really does. And so, just listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. But that has nothing to do with the video I want to show, by the way. That was free. But this video, I want to play is, I think sometimes the church has forgot what our purpose is. It goes into when our 21-day fast is going to be about showing Jesus really love people. And I think sometimes the church has forgot love. We stand on street corners and say, God hates fags. You know, sorry, Westboro Baptist Church, that's not love. Stone me for it. That's okay. I can live with that. He's a mean preacher. He's talking about other churches. Yeah, when they do that stuff like that, I'll talk to them. That's wrong. That's not love. You're not going to save the world. It's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. The goodness of God that draws people to repentance. And so sometimes I just think the church as a whole has forgot love. So watch this video. See what it has to say.
forget how to love? Did it happen suddenly? Or was it a gradual decline? When did we forget the very foundation of the gospel? For God so loved. Love is what moved God to action. Love is what held Jesus to the cross. Love is what rolled away the stone. But we've forgotten that part. Without love, we are simply a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, a bunch of noise. Without love, we are nothing. Is that what people see in us? Meaningless, empty noise? Love is supposed to be patient and kind, gentle, not angry or arrogant. Yet in our effort to stand on truth, we have forgotten the very thing these truths are based on. Love. Never once did Jesus fail in this. Not in his heartbreak or his anger. Not in his joy or his betrayal. His default has always been love. Maybe it's time the church was more like Jesus.
Mary Magdalene had her story. You have yours. Father, help us to share our story. Never be intimidated, scared. Lord, you've rescued us. You've rescued us from so many things. And so I just pray, Father, you just help us to share our story, so that others can encounter you. Let us love as you've called us to, love as you've directed us to, love as you have commanded us to. For God, we know it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. And you have been so good. It was not about who knows more theology or can quote more scriptures. All that means nothing if we don't have any love. So to share our story about the love of Jesus that's inside of us, and let his love flow out of us, so that others might know you and see you and come to follow you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. For you are worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. It's time the church be more like Jesus. So, Father, just this week, as we start our fast, God, help us to just put away the negative. Speak only what you speak, what your word says. Bless those who persecute us. Love those who despitefully use us. Bless those who pull out in front of us. And help us show the love of Jesus. Give us the strength and the wisdom, the help, just to be conscious, God, of our motives, our voices, our words, our minds, our thoughts. Help us just be conscious of those things, God, that we might just draw closer to you. The next few weeks up till Easter, I just pray, God, this just draws us closer to you, God. I think this is a good thing. So help us, God, be victorious and walk as you've asked us to walk, God. Speak truth and love to those around us. Show forth your glory through us. Bless those around us. In Jesus' name, the church said. Join us next week as we talk about Felix. That's all I'm saying about that one.